We're doing Makos. We're going to start again from the Mishnah. They testify about so-and-so that owes his friend 200 zuz. They were found to be Edim Zomin, Lokinum Shalmin. So Tana Kama, which is Rabbi Meir, he holds that they get both lashes and they pay. Shelo Hashem Amviyam Lidei Makot, Meviyam Lidei Tashlumin. Because the thing that obligates them to lashes, that isn't the same source that obligates them to pay. Forgive me that I have the cell phone here, but I did a bris this morning, so I need to be available. Mitzvah, they won't call me, but I still owe it to them to be available. So that's the only reason we have a cell phone here. So Rabbi Meir holds the reason they pay is because of kasher zaman. Vasitem lo kasher zaman lasot l'achiv. Pay him back the way he wanted to do to his friend. The reason they get lashes is because the Torah says, Lota neverecha et shaker or et shav. So two different sources obligate two different things. One obligates payment, and the other one obligates lashes. Divrei Rabbi Meir, v'chachamim omerim, and chachamim say, now chachamim could be a minority opinion, but Rabbi and his court chose to give it the weight of a majority opinion. They voted to give it that weight, and that's why it appears in the Mishnah as Chachamim Omerim. And notice that had the Mishnah not said Divrei Rabbi Meir, that would have, by default, that would have been Rabbi Meir's opinion. But then it would have been given greater halachic weight because it would have been a Stam Mishnah. And a Mishnah plainly stated has more weight than Chachamim Omerim. By relegating it to Divrei Rabbi Meir, what Rabbi and his court effectively did was they gave it less halachic weight, because now it is a minority opinion. It is a very weighty minority opinion. It is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, but nonetheless it is a minority opinion. Weighty, but minority. Whereas Chachamim Omrim, Kolam Shalem Eino Loke. That word kol is superfluous. At first glance, it's unnecessary. It must be there to teach you something. Chachamim say, anyone who pays does not get lashes. It says in the Torah, when you give lashes, you give kidei rishato, in accordance with his wickedness. And our sages derived from that pasuk that wickedness is in single form, rishato, his single wickedness, to teach us that you obligate him for one aspect of wickedness and not two at a time. Next case. Meidin hanu beish ploni. Shech hu chayav malkot arbaim. We testify about so-and-so that he deserves to get 40 lashes. The court's ruled already. That's what he has coming. V'nimtzu zomimin. Then they were found to be edim. Zomimin. Lokin shemonim, they get 80 lashes. Mishum lo ta'anev racha et shaker, umishum vasitem lo kasher zamam. Divrei Rabbi Meir, two sources. One, they themselves transgress the prohibition. Lo ta'anev racha et shaker. Secondly, we have to pay him back. Vasitem lo kasher zamam. V'chachamim umrim, en lokin el arbaim. They only get 40 lashes for the prohibition, for vasitem lo kasher zamam. They don't get lashes for lota neverecha et shaker, as we will see now in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Bishlema l'rabanan. What does Bishlema mean?
Makes sense according to.
Okay, homework. What does the word Bishlema mean? Yehuda Frankel is an answer for Tuesday. Look up the word Bishlema in the dictionary that you have a copy of. Bishlema l'rabanan, and then when you see the source, look it up. Double homework. Bishlema l'rabanan. Kedei rishato k'tiv, mishum rishachat otam chayvo, v'yatam chayvo, mishum shtei rishuyot. I understand the sheet of Rabbanan. The Torah says kedei rishato. And so I obligate him for one wickedness and not two. El Rabbi Meir, my taima. But what's the source for Rabbi Meir? Point number one, the words my taima, what is the source? Point number two, the Gemara begins by siding with whom? Rabbanan. Now that's problematic, because we have to note the form of the Gemara. not just the content, but the form, because the form shows us their position halachically. If the Gemara would have just said, my time of the Rabbanon, oh, k'day rishoso, it didn't do that. It began by saying, I understand the rabbis, that works very good. You see, the Gemara took as a given that their limud is something we know. Really? Then how come the Gemara and Ksubas has to derive it? So that needs work. Why is this Gemara beginning with an assumption, I know it, and that Gemara asks for it? Maybe. You're saying because the Mishnah said what? No. No.
What's the question, Rabbi Meir? Though it said already the Mishnah is limitless.
Again?
I understand correctly. It's asking what is the source for Rabbi Meir's opinion that he gets 40? That he pays? He gets 80 lashes to pay and get lashes. We saw in the Mishnah that there's two psukim. Vasita lehem kasher zavam, vasita lo kibir zavam, and lo tisai reyachai v'shak.
Do you understand this question?
Do you understand my question?
Yes, I like your question, but I want them to understand it.
The Gemara is asking, where is Rabbi Meir's source that of his opinion, that he says they get 40 eight lashes instead of 40, etc., etc.? My question is that in the Mishnah, it already tells us where his source is. He brings two psukim, one to teach us that giving false testimony deserves lashes, 40, and that being an Eitz Zomim deserves lashes.
So the question is why?
Why is the Gemara asking where is his source? We already learned.
The question of Rabbi Meir is how can you get these two sources and use those two together as a source for 80?
It's very clear. One pasuk teaches us.
Right, but who gives him the right to use those two sources and join them to make 80 lashes?
Who gives the source the...
Why not? Say it better. Say it better. Say it better.
No, it might be a problem because if they're Eidim Zomim, that should have precedence over the fact that they're Adeshaker, that it's more relevant because they should get the punishment that they were going... that they wanted to give the other person, and not more, and they would have got more than the punishment that they were going to inflict on the other person, and therefore it wouldn't look fair. The fact that they're Adesh Shaker, if they're Zomim, of course they're Adesh Shaker.
Oh, so you're saying every Eidz Zomim should get it?
Every Eidz Zomim is Adesh Shaker.
Can one of you say better? What you're saying is a big Kiddush. I don't have an issue with what you said, but it's a Mahalach in the Gemara that it doesn't really say. I hear what you're saying, it's just sticking a lot into the words. Can one of you offer a better explanation? Again, which words are we focused on? What's the Gemara's question, my time? So Yehuda says, what do you mean my time? And the Mishnah gives you his sources. So Yitzchak offers to say, the Gemara's question was, who gave you the right to darshan that way? I want you to say a little bit better. Think for a minute.
Why did Rabbanan say the same?
Nah, it says Bishlama Rabbanan, meaning the Rabbanan's understanding the Gemara takes as a given.
Right. And it's not based on anything according to the Mishnah either.
Right. The Gemara has a tradition. The Gemara says, I understand Rabbanan because of Kedei Rishato. But Rabbi Meir, what's your basis? So Yehuda counters. He said in the Mishnah what his basis is. What's bothering you?
My time, you're not going with Rabbanan?
Oh, very good. So tell him where you got it from. You're already going to say it.
I keep it close to
them. Right. So Tosfos sets up the question differently. Ordinarily, my time usually means, what's the source? Not always. But over here, the Gemara's real question was, hey, Rabbi Meir, what do you do with Kedei Rishato? How do you learn? I heard what you had to say in the Mishnah. But what about the rabbi's drasha? So this gives us an even stronger weight on Rabbanan. Meaning to the Gemara, it was obvious, not only do I understand Rabbanan, I don't get you, Rabbi Meir. Why don't you learn like them? What do you do with that limud? So Tosus works out why this is the Gemara's attitude. Why is the Gemara approaching it with Kedei Rishato being a given. But in general, this is really the build-up. And now you understand Tosus better. Because in light of your question, now you understand where Tosus got what he's saying from. Back to our Gemara. Marula gamar mimotzi shemra. Rabbi Meir derives it from motzi shemra. Now it all makes sense. Because if we didn't have this backdrop, what you said and what Tosa said, then we'd ask, why does Rabbi Meir need a limud? Rabbi Meir said very simple, I have two psukim, you transgress two psukim, you get lashes for each of them. I need a limud, they need a limud. No, the Gemara turns it on its head. The Gemara says, I understand, Rabbanan, Rabbi Meir, where are you coming from? Ah, now suddenly he has to bring a limud. What's he doing? He's not saying the Chiddush. So you see, the Gemara framed us differently. The Gemara made our approach to the whole sugya. This is the reason. This is the logic. This is the way it should be. Rabbi Meir wants to say differently. It's not enough that he just darshans the psukim. He says, well, it says here and it says there. But you're going against the Rabbanan's drasha of Kedei Rishato. You want to learn that way? You bring a mekor. That's very far out. Because the choro, what Rabbi Meir is saying, is pasuk pshat. He's saying, I have two psukim. Each pasuk gives him 40 lashes. You tell me why not. The Gemara says, no, that's not how I'm going to deal.
So would that indicate that Chachamim is really like a lot of people?
Because no.
Then why are you being matched on Rabbi Meir? He's entitled to his opinion. Why does he have to go with, let's say, someone?
It is very Chachamim.
Someone else. Why do what? You know, he doesn't know that you're giving him, you're giving that first, that kind of Chachamim to wait.
Okay. Whatever.
Furthermore, I just want to understand. Now that he has a limud, is he using the psukim just to give to be a smacht on the crowd?
Oh, no. Slowly. Let's read the Gemara and then you'll see if you still have a question. Amarula Gamar Mimotzi Shemra. Rabbi Meir, who says, what does Rabbi Meir say? That you could be allotted two punishments for the same crime. To pay and get lashes or to get double lashes. Gamal mi motzi shemra. He derived this from motzi shemra. What is motzi shemra? What's the case of motzi shemra in the Torah?
When you
claim that
your virgin wife is
a Okay, so Harry married Sally. And they had engagement, erusin, and then nisuin. And then Harry comes into court and says, when we got engaged, she was a virgin. And from that moment onward, she was biblically prohibited from being with anyone else. She was an Ashes Ish. And now we got married, she's not a virgin. So, technically, she did an act that she deserves a death penalty for.
They're married, of course she's not.
No, he's saying, at the wedding night, I discovered that she didn't walk into the wedding a virgin. So technically, she transgressed the prohibition that she deserves a death penalty for. For sure, I'm divorcing her, and for sure, I don't have to pay her ksuba money. In walk her parents and bring proof that he's a liar. She was a virgin that night. And then the courts beat him up and make him pay a tax and marry her until she gets fed up with him, if she ever does. Meaning she doesn't have to stay married to him, but he has to stay married to her. She has veto power. He may never divorce him. He's stuck with her.
I'm going to prove that anyway.
Okay. Okay, good question. Back to our Gemara. When we learn Ksubis, we'll worry about it. So, Ula says, Rabbi Meir says, the witnesses get a double whammy. They get lashes plus pay. So he derives this idea that you could get two punishments from the Motzi Shemra, that the Motzi Shemra gets lashes plus he pays a tax. There's a steady tax that he has to pay. So if you see that the Torah will sometimes levy against a person both lashes and the tax, so I can also say that these Edom Zomimim will pay and get lashes. It's a concept that exists in the Torah. And from there I can derive my idea. Ah, you have the strong limur of Kedei Rishato that I should be wary of. I have my sources. I'm not worried about your Kedei Rishato. I use it differently. Think about it. Back to our Gemara.
How's this fit?
Because they have a pasuk, so they also need to.
Without the psukim, his case doesn't begin. His case begins because he has two psukim. Then you ask, but I don't care that you have psukim. We have this concept of keder rishato. So to that I counter, it's possible that I will give a double punishment based on motzi shemra. But that doesn't make it obligatory that I'll give two punishments. I still need my psukim. Without the psukim, I can't begin giving punishments. My punishments are based on the psukim. But in order to facilitate darshaning the psukim this way, I need to counter your keder rishato. To counter that, I have motzi shemra. Meaning, the psukim lead me to giving a dual punishment. But I have a problem. It says keder rishato. So I have to prove that the Torah permits me to learn these psukim this way.
There's precedent for, for that case. So basically, he proved, he gave his two psukim. It's basically like him using logic to reach that conclusion, but the Motzi Shemra is a precedent. We can say that there was already a case like this, and that was a much stronger case than just bringing two psukim. But how does this fit in? How does this fit in with the whole problem that if you're an Eid Zomim, you're already an Eid Chakir, so it would have kept
Wait,
every case.
Hold your horses,
oh,
we'll
get
there.
Okay. I shouldn't have been so worried that they won't get there.
So the Gemara asks, you want to derive from the story of Motzi Shemra that in other instances we will also make the person pay plus get lashes. How can you derive from Motzi Shemra? Motzi Shemra is only a tax. Motzi Shemra is not Mamon. As we discussed earlier, if you recall, down here on Beis Amud Beis, we discussed that a tax is viewed as a punishment. It's not viewed as a monetary obligation. Remember, we brought the proof from Hilchos Shemitah, that Shemitah does not absolve a person of a tax, because we view as a tax as the Torah wanted him to pay. The Torah told him to pay the other guy, but the Torah's focus was, you lose the money. The Torah's focus was not, I want him to get the money. And that's why Shemitah doesn't absolve him of it, because it's not the focus is not that the other guy should get it as much as that he should pay it. Remember? We discussed this back in the Fezim days. So how could you derive from the case of Motzi Shemra? Motzi Shemra is a knas. Answers the Gemara. Savala k'Rabbi Akiva d'amar Eidim Zomimim knaso. No problem. Eidim Zomimim is also a tax. I'm going to go with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that the whole punishment, what are you making them pay for? They didn't bring to fruition their evil plot. They tried. They almost got there. But they didn't do it. So why are you making them pay? So Rabbi Akiva says it's a tax. So if this is a tax, I could learn it from that. So he holds like Rabbi Akiva that says Eidim Zomim is a knas. Now that's not too far-fetched. Rabbi Meir was Rabbi Akiva's Talmud. So that's okay, right? All the Stam are Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. So he's a Stamid of Rabbi Akiva.
Stam?
Stam Mishnah. Mishnah that's plainly stated is assumed to be the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Stam Tosefta, Stam Sifro, Stam Sifri, each one has a different author.
Where did we hear that it's a Stam Mishnah?
Not, I'm just giving you an easy way to remember it, being that we say all the Stam are disciples of Rabbi Akiva, and Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, so that's an easy way to remember that Rabbi
Meir. Stam Mishnah, it's always Rabbi Meir.
Generally, unless the Gemara says otherwise. The default is Rabbi Meir. Okay, end of story. We finished this. Next. Ika dematni leha de'ula aha. There are those that would quote what we said in the name of Ula, that it was said about a braisa, not about our Mishnah. Remember, we asked, where does Rabbi Meir get this from, that you could make a person pay dual punishment? To which Ula replied, I know it from Motzi Shemra. So there are those that say Ula did not say that pertaining to our Mishnah, but rather pertaining to the following Braisa. Titania, it says in the Braisa, the Torah says, Lototiru mimenu ad boker, vanotau mimenu ad boker. Ba'esh, the Torah says, don't leave from the Paschal offering till the morning, and anything that's left over till the morning, burn in the fire. So what do we have? We have a lav. What's the lav?
Don't leave any of the Paschal offering.
Does the lav involve any action? No. So that's a lav she'ein bo ma'ase. Next, what does the Torah say? If one transgressed the prohibition, what does he do?
A positive mitzvah.
Positive mitzvah. What's that called? A lav hanitak la'ase. The Torah told you don't transgress. If you transgress, fix it with ase. So this is the classical case of lav she'ein bo ma'ase. This is the classical case of lav hanitak la'ase. Okay? Do we know of another lav hanitak la'ase?
Steal.
Oh, it says don't steal. And if you stole, then?
Give back.
Give back your stolen object.
It says give back.
That's not a mitzvah, is it?
It says give back. What does it say give back? It says if he's caught, he pays taxes. Does it say give back? I don't remember that.
It's an example that's usually quoted to us.
Yeah, if you stole his sheep, you have to give the sheep back.
Yeshivta gzela, yeah, it does say. Yeshivta gzela, you should return the theft. Okay.
But speech is considered an action.
Is speech considered which speech?
Speech of the Edut.
Oh, Sheikh Yuni, what a good question. We'll get to that too. Very good.
So, we're seeing here that it's...
We're seeing here that what? We will see. It's a good question from our Mishnah. It seems yes, but let's see how it plays out. So the Braisa says, Va ha-katuv liten ase achar o lo ta'ase, lomar she'en lokin alav divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Eloi holds that the Torah gave you an ase following the lo ta'ase to tell you this is how you fix if you transgress. Yes? Now, Rashi here uses a dual lashon, we should notice. Let's see Rashi, the last wide line. Lomar she'en lokin anav, she'ha'aseh ha'amur acharav, takanato v'chaparato al averat halav. Rashi told us two things. You saw that? Rashi said, this is how you fix it, this is how you atone for it. Why did Rashi tell us both things?
Because it does both things.
That's a good reason. But obviously I wanted something else.
First have to fix Nenaton.
The atoning is for the lashes. I mean, the lashes is your atonement. That gets rid of your need for lashes.
So we will ask a question. And I want us to leave it hanging because it could be that the true answer is what Mr. Hassan said. That the reason Rashi said it is because it really accomplishes both. Let's ask a philosophical question which has practical ramifications. Why does the Torah say to punish? Is the Torah's punishment to fix something? Is the Torah's punishment to attain atonement? Is the Torah's punishment because God wants a reaction in this world? It's a preventative measure, and those two are not necessarily synonymous. Why do we punish? And we don't necessarily group all punishments under the same canopy. It could be that the death penalty is with one purpose, and lashes can have multiple purposes, depending on the case. But perhaps Rashi is telling us that the asay has the dual effects, which are instead of the lashes, which would have the dual effect. And that opens up a new question. How does giving him lashes fix the fact that he didn't need his sacrifice? Let's say you didn't have the asay. The Torah says, don't leave any over. And he did, so we're going to come and beat him up. Okay, what'd you fix? Then again, what'd you ruin? Back to our Gemara. So again, we said there are those who quote Ula that he said his statement about the following brisa. It says in the Torah, you do want to go tell this guy? It says again.
It's
a. It's a. It says in the Torah, "Lo mimenu ad boker, v'anotar mimenu ad boker v'gomer." Ba katuv li tenase achalot, tenase lomar shenokin alav divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the reason the Torah gave us an assay after the los assay is to tell us that one does not get lashes over the los assay. If he transgressed the lav, he does not get lashes. Rabbi Akiva omer lo min Hashem uzeh. Rabbi Akiva says that's not the main reason. It's a lav Rashi. Lo min Hashem uzeh. In tam zeikar. The love she nitak lase in lokin alav ela mipnei ma hamotir eno loke lefi she who love she en bo maase. Rabbi Kiva says that's not the main reason. Why doesn't he get lashes? It's a love she en bo maase. You didn't do anything. You sat back, the night passed, you didn't eat. For a love she en bo maase, you don't get lashes.
It's like that guy who sees a stolen object, but he's on his way to the town and he doesn't stop to return that object. There's some instance like that in the Gemara.
Okay.
I'm saying it's not the main reason, or it's not a reason at all.
What did Rashi say?
He said it's not the main reason.
Okay.
But I don't understand.
It's also in Brachot.
If it's a love she en bo maase, so that already shows you that you don't have to, you don't get lashes. So what? There's no need to add on whatever the kumase doesn't further that. I mean, it by itself would, but since you already have lav she en bo maase, nothing of it is helping towards. You're already off the hook.
Can you answer your own question, or should I answer? Okay. What would be if the guy didn't eat the meat of the Korban Pesach and instead he took a rocket and shot it off into outer space, out into the abyss? Now he can't do that, say. And he did an act to ensure he would be over the lav. He did a maaseh to be over that lav. Now what would you say?
I'm not sure if that maaseh was part of the lav of being a because even if he, whatever he does, it doesn't matter. The point is that he doesn't eat it. So, Mishlema, you're throwing it into outer space. You can't reach it anymore. But that's not the reason why you're over the lab. The reason why you're over the lab is because you didn't eat it. Here, there, it doesn't matter where it is.
The reason you're over the lab is because you didn't eat it. And what would happen if he'd burn it? Meaning, it's if he'd find an active way to not eat it tonight. I don't know what would make you happy to call it an active way that he's not eating it tonight. Okay, food for thought. Back to our Gemara. What you're asking is really, where's their practical application to the fact that there's another source that would ponder him? Okay, so one day maybe we'll find it. Again, so Rabbi Yehuda says, why doesn't he get lashes? Because it's a lava nitaklase. The prohibition is connected with an assay, so the Torah told you how the Torah wanted you to fix the transgression. Don't give him lashes, let him burn it. Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need that. Even before you hit the assay, he didn't do any maise, so you don't get lashes for a lav she en bo maase. Again, Rabbi Akiva omer, lo min Hashem uzeh, ela mishum dehave le lav she en bo maase, v'chol lav she en bo maase, en lo kin alav. End of quote. Asks the Gemara, Michlad Rabbi Yehuda Savar Lav Shein Bo Maase Lokin Alav. Would it be correct to infer that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Lav Shein Bo Maase one does get lashes for? Minale, where does Rabbi Yehuda get that from? How could you give lashes for a lav shein bo maise? No, that was Mr. Hassan's question. Amar ula gamal mi motzi shemcha. So here, there are those that quote that Ula said this over here, that Rabbi Yehuda derived it from motzi shemra. Ma motzi shemra lav shein bo maise lokin alav, just as motzi shemra doesn't evolve an action. All he did was talk. He came into court and said, "Lo matzati levitecha betulim." So he didn't do an act; he just spoke. And even so, lokin alav, he gets lashes. Afkol lav shein bo maase lokin alav. So too, Rav Yehuda derives for any lav shein bo maase, one would get lashes. So that's where Ula said, "Gamar mimotzi shemra." Meaning, we had a tradition that Ula answered some question by saying, "Gamar mimotzi shemra." Some say he answered it that that's the source for Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. Some say he answered that that's the source for Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa. Now the Gemara questions, Mala Motzi Shemra Sheken Loke Shalem. How could you derive from Motzi Shemra? Motzi Shemra breaks all the rules. You see, ordinarily you wouldn't get lashes and pay. Motzi Shemra is an unusual case. You see, the Torah even made him pay with his lashes. So you can't derive from there. Ela Amar Resh Lakish Gamal Meidim Zomimim. Resh Lakish says, I guess he learns it from Meidim Zomimim. Ma Meidim Zomimim Lav Shen Bo Maase Lokin Alav. Meidim Zomimim, that was your question. They didn't do any Maase. They just spoke. And yet, they'll get lashes for that speech. Afko Lav Shen Bo Maase Lokin Alav. So to any Lav Shen Bo Maase, they should get lashes. Now, which case of Meidim Zomimim? The first case we saw in the first Mishnah. They walk into court and they say, so-and-so is a Pasul Kohen, so-and-so is a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, etc. Ask the Gemara, Ma'aleidim Zomim Shkenen Tzachin Atra'a. Wait a second, Eidim Zomim breaks the rules. You can't learn from Eidim Zomim in, because that's a unique case. We never warn them. Ordinarily, you'd never give lashes without a warning. En Oneshin Ela Imken Mazirin. We have a rule, no punishments without a warning. Every punishment the Torah gives, not every, there are exceptions, generally, punishments that the Torah gives, the death penalty or taxes, you have to warn the guy. And yet, Eidim Zomimin, you never warn them. The witnesses walk into court, we don't put their hand on a Bible and say, do you solemnly swear? And do you realize that if you're lying, you may have to pay it all out or get the death penalty or get lashes by court of law? We don't do that. We don't warn them before they give testimony. So you see, Eidim Zomimin is different than every other case. It has this unique feature that they get lashes even though there was no warning. So perhaps, just as they have this unique stringency that they get lashes without warning, maybe that's why Eidim Zomimin also get lashes even though they didn't do any act, they only spoke. So you can't derive from Eidim Zomimin they have the unique stringency that they get lashes without warning. You cannot derive from Motzi Shemra, he has the unique stringency that he pays, plus gets lashes. So the Gemara says, Motzi Shemra Yochiach. But I could prove from Motzi Shemra, what will you say? Don't learn from Eidim Zomimin, they have the unique stringency that they don't get a warning. But what about Motzi Shemra? Motzi Shemra?
Punishment.
What?
Double punishment.
Oh, so you'll tell me, Motzi Shemra, v'chazar adin, l'ray zeh, k'ray zeh, v'ray zeh, k'ray zeh. Each one doesn't have the same stringency as the other one. Atzad ha-shaveh shebehen, the common denominator between them is, l'asu ma'aseh, l'asu b'ma'aseh, v'lo kin alav. You see, even though they didn't do any act, they still get lashes. Afkol av shen b'ma'aseh, lo kin alav. So too, I'm going to say, any lav shen b'ma'aseh, one can get lashes for.
And love the without warning.
What?
What does it mean? Bechazar adin.
Bechazar adin, you go back and forth, and you see each side has a different stringency than the other one. So then bechazar adin. So then your limud comes back. How does your limud come back? Because lo raizek raizev lo raizek raizev. Because each one doesn't have the same stringency as the other one. What? That, I don't remember. Don't remember the exact translation. We have to look it up. Rashi, there's a place, one or two places that Rashi actually defines each one.
This is not like that, no. And that's not like this.
Bring it in this stupid
thing. Maybe.
But, no question. Wait, so you're saying that you can get lashes without a warning for a love... What's it? Love de lo maase?
Love shen bo maase.
Shen bo maase. Does that mean that for any love she... How do you say? Shenitak bo maase?
Shenitak maase.
Shenitak maase. Then you could never get lashes without a warning?
Didn't follow it.